Okay, so today's daf is, good morning, Cal. Today's daf is Erevin, daf Ayin Tes. We're going to begin with the bottom of daf Ayin Ches Amud Beis, where the Gemara says that if you had a ditch and it was filled with dirt, mali afar, so then if there's a ditch between two different areas and yet there was a it was filled with dirt, so then they're like one, and you make an Eruv Chatzeros with both sides as one, and you can't break it into two different groups. So based on the Mishnah that said if it's filled with dirt, you make one, so it seems that in any which way, then it's considered like Sosim, it's considered as if it's like filled up. But Filu Bistama, and even if you place the dirt there without any intention one way or the other of whether you're going to remove the dirt or not. But we learn in a Mishnah by Shemiluhu Tevenot Sroro Batel that a house that has a corpse inside is or it has a tumas mace, right? So and you filled the house with straw or with pebbles, and you were mevatel. You said that you sort of said that it's a. It's you said that you made it batel, and so then the and then it's batel. So then at that point it becomes batel. So the Gemara wants to say that but bitlo id only if you're mevatel the stones that you say you explicitly don't want to remove them. You know, batel here means that you want to just leave them there. You want to leave the stones or the dirt there, and you don't want to remove it. So only in this instance do we say do we say that the again, normally speaking. So what's this actually talking about here? So the space where the straw and the pebbles is are would be considered like it's closed off. And if there's no airspace of a tefach other than the place of the straw and the stones, so then the tumah rises and is metame and causes that which is above the corpse to be tame, even what's above the house. Again, you need at least an airspace of at least a tefach, and then if you have the roof of the house, then whatever is on top of that is not become tame, but if it's completely filled with stones or straw such that it's completely closed so that you don't have that airspace, and then even that which is on top of the house becomes tameh, but that's only if it's batel and bitlo in lo bitlo lo. If you were not mevatel the straw or the stones and you and basically you would have and you're not committing to leaving it there, then it would not become batel. So we see from here that sroros are not batel where you place them, unless you are explicit. So how come our Mishnah says that if you place the dirt and the rocks there, the pebbles there, without specific intent, whether you're going to move it or not, then we assume that you're going to leave it there. Why is that the case? So Rav Huna, Man Tana Olos, Rabbi Yosihi. Now the Mishnah Olos actually have different authors, and they have different positions on this matter. The author of the Mishnah in Olos is Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi argues that a Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi holds that even if you place dirt, then it's batel. We consider it nullified, even if you don't have specific intention one way or the other, as opposed to our Mishnah, which says it's not the case. You actually have to have intent, right? So E Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, but wait a second, if the mission Olos is Rabbi Yossi, actually he should say just the opposite. Why? The Tanya, because we learned a Brisa. Rabbi Yossi Ober, Teved, Veitz Osi Lefado. So let's say there's a house where there's a corpse inside, and you filled it up with straw. Veitz Osi Lefado. And you don't intend in the future to clear out the straw. But you did say explicitly that you're not going to remove it from there. Harehu kistab afar. We view the straw as dirt, where we don't know if you're going to remove it or not. Ubatel, and it's considered nullified, and therefore the space where the straw is considered closed, And similarly, afar, if you fill the house with dirt, ve'asi lefado, so you know that you're going to remove the dirt, hare lo bitel, right? So the halacha is hare you can stop tevim v'lo batel. Then it's like regular straw, and it's not batel. So what do we see from here? That dirt that we don't know if you're going to remove it or not actually is batel. So that goes against what he said, that we were suggesting, that he said that it's not batel. So Elamaravasi Mantana Ervin, rather, who's the author of our Mishnah who holds that dirt is when you don't have intention one way or the other, is considered nullified? And that's Rabbi Yosihi, that's from the Brisa. The Rabbi Yosi holds that Stam Afar is nullified, and the Mishnah, and that's our Mishnah, that the dirt, just placing dirt when you don't have intention one way or the other, is nullified. That's why the two areas on either side of the ditch is considered like one. And the Mishnah Olos, which holds that Stam Afar is not Batel, so that argues on Rav Yossi. Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua Amar Tuma Ashabes Karames. So Rav Huna wants to answer this in a totally different way. He says that you can ask questions between Shabbos and Tuma. Sometimes we try to generalize or universalize halachos. So the assumption till now is that all afar, either it's always batel or low batel, but there are two different cases. There's tuma and Shabbos. You can't ask one or the other. Hanach iser Shabbos dafilu arnaki namim batel inchi. So he says the following: when you nullify even a pouch full of money, so you even do that. The pouch, you can't move it on Shabbos, and that's fixed in place. Straw, which can be moved on Shabbos, is not considered fixed in the ditch. So that's why, because that's machal lebehema. So therefore, since you can take it from there, from the ditch on Shabbos, it's not considered batel unless you explicitly nullified it. However, with tuma, it has to be. Therefore that's different. So straw, we say that's fit for other uses, right? However, and similarly dirt that you cannot move on Shabbos, if we don't know whether you're going to leave it there, it's also considered batel, as opposed to straw. That's food for animals, so that you can move. So the distinction we're making on Shabbos is between dirt and straw, but you can't compare that to tuma, which doesn't really apply. That's something totally different. There you have to mevatel it permanently. Ravashi Amar Bayis Acharetz Karamis. Ravashi says you're asking a question between a house and a ditch. They're two totally different cases. When it comes to the charetz, it's understood why you're placing dirt there, because the dirt there, since there's a ditch, it's going to be filled. So once you put dirt in the ditch, so then you can argue that your intent is not to move it. But if you put dirt in a house, well, you can leave it filled the whole time. So obviously there, stam dirt, if you didn't explicitly mevatel the dirt, it's not considered batel. So again, you could say it's different authors, or you can say tuma is different than Shabbos, or you could say a house is different than a ditch, what we assume if you're not explicit whether you're batel or not. And the Mishnah also said natsan olav neser rachav arba. So let's say that you place a plank that's 4 tefachim wide. So then you have the option. Now, if you have a charetz and you fill the charetz up completely, so then it's all like one. But if it's a board that's 4 tefachim, like a plank that connects the two, then you have the option of whether you want to join as one or whether you want to make them two separate areas. Amar Rav, Rav says, Lo shanu, ela shenasan l'rachbo. That's only when you place the board by the width of the charitz, the ditch, that because the board now goes from side to edge to edge like a bridge. Avala arco, but if you place it lengthwise, so then the then afilu kol shehu nami, then even the smallest amount, then you can even if it's like less than four tefachim, it's also considered a pesach, and that reduces the ditch, because what have you done? You've now remove the distance, because originally the ditch was four tefachim wide. Once you minimize it a little bit, so now it's less than four tefachim wide, so what do we say then? Then we say that the charitz, there's an area where it's not four by four tefachim, and now you can easily jump from courtyard to courtyard, and therefore you can make an eruv together. Okay, so the Mishnah now says v'chein shtei gzus toros zu keneged zu. So let's also, if you have two balconies that are opposite each other, and you place a plank, you know, between the two of them, again you have the option of joining them. If not, you don't have to join them either. Amar Rava, Rava says, hada amrat, that halacha that you said the two balconies where you have a board that's four tefachim, they go one to the other, that you can make an Arab and Erev together, that's a case where what? That is Zu Kereged Zu, that they're both protruding to the Rishus Harabim, right, in an even manner. Then we would say this halacha, that you can put a plank between them. Zu Shelo Kereged Zu, but if what is sort of protruding out in not in an even fashion than the other one, so in that instance, lo, we would not say this halacha that you cannot, you then in that case, then you can't make the erev together. Ulamala uzulamala mizu, if one's above the other one, one's higher than the other one, nami, also you can't join them together. So, and then he says lo nami lo amran. And then he says more than that, that this is only when there's at least a distance of at least three tefachim between the two different balconies. However, if, again, they're not, you know, they're not like perfectly even, but they're within three tefachim of each other. So then if there is a board of four tefachim, a plank, then you can join them together, because you view that as a crooked gezustra, a crooked balcony. Okay, so now the Mishnah now is going to deal with, again, with two chatzeros, two courtyards that are near each other, and there is something between them. And the Mishnah is going to talk about where the thing that's between them is a pile of straw, that besides halacha, so we want to know also, can you use the pile of straw? Number one, we're going to ask two different questions. Can you make an eruv together? And number two is, can you use the straw? So the Mishnah says the following. Mat bein shebein shtei chatzeros. So let's say you have a haystack that's positioned between two courtyards. And gavoa asar tefachim, that's 10 tefachim high. Ma'arvin shtei vein ma'arvin echad. So they're two separate eruvin, and they can't join them together because they're separate. Ve'elu machilim mikan, ve'elu machilim mikan, and each one can feed their animals from either side of the haystack. Let's say it diminishes, they eat all the hay. So now there's less than 10 tefachim high. In that instance, so ma'arvin echad ve'en ma'arvin shtayim. So then it's basically one. If it's less than 10 tefachim high, so then they're connected and we join them together. We have to join them together. So Rav Huda says, Uvad shelo yite letochu paso v'yachil. So Rav Huda says that which the Mishnah said, that the people can place their animals next to the haystack and feed them, that's only if you don't actually place the haystack, it's your basket to feed it. Because in that case, you might inadvertently reduce the mechitza less than 10 tefachim, and you would invalidate. You might invalidate the mechitza, and you might continue carrying in the chatzar. So he thought that you have to be concerned about that. And so the Gemara asks, Ula upme share, but wait a second, if you can't handle the haystack, so are you allowed to then stand the animal next to the haystack? In other words, if the concern about putting it in your basket is that you're going to diminish it to less than 10 tefachim, and if you diminish it to less than 10 tefachim, then that will invalidate your Erev Chatzeros, right? Because now we're going to join the two Chatzeros. You need to make an error between the two of them. So why do we say you're not allowed to take it, but you're allowed to leave your animal there? Did Rav Huda say in the name of Rav Chanina that you can stand your animal on a patch of grass on Shabbos? Because there, you're going to be careful not to pull the grass out for the animal because it's an Issur D'oraisa. However, you can't place your animal by things that are muksa on Shabbos because it's not so strict. So since it's not so strict, the person's not going to be so careful. And since people aren't going to be so careful, then the rabbis say, therefore, you cannot do it. So it should apply also in the case of the haystack. If you can't remove your hay from the stack, physically into the basket, you shouldn't place your animal alongside the stack. So the answer is, the karmel ba'apa v'az levafa. So the case is, you can stand in front of the animal, so it cannot go elsewhere, and it eats from the haystack. In that case, the rabbis were not that strict. That's a big question. Tosfos says, so why is that any difference? In other words, if you're not allowed to place your animal by the haystack, why did Rav Huna say that you can't take it from your hand? In other words, if you can't place your animal by the haystack, so why can't you physically do that? Like, why need the additional halacha? And so Tosfos answers that if Rav Huna says this, we wouldn't know the reason why you can't place your animal there. So you wouldn't know that. So Rav Huna is actually trying to point out that you can't physically take from the haystack, and therefore we would know that because of that, you also cannot place your animal by the haystack. That since it's asur midrabbanan to take the hay from the haystack, so you can't place your animal there. So Rav Huna is really giving the reason why you can't place your animal there. That's the way Tosfos understands this. Now, the Gemara is now going to ask on the opinion of Rav Huna, who says that you cannot take the straw and give it to the, put in your basket and give it to the animal. The Gemara asks, Vlo yite letoku pasul teven. Is that true that you can't place the straw into your basket? V'atanya, we hope learned a brisa, baisha bein shtei chatzeros, if there's a house that's standing between two courtyards. And there are houses from two courtyards that are open into the courtyards. Umil uhu teved, and you fill that house in the middle with straw. So you have one house of straw, and that's between two other houses and other courtyards. And so the halacha is that ma'arvin shtayim ve'ein ma'arvin echad. So every courtyard can make an eruv for themselves, right? Make an eruv for themselves, and they can't join with each other. Zeh, the balabayas, whose house is open to the house between the two courtyards. So in other words, zeh nosin l'tol kupaso v'yachil, v'zeh nosin l'tol kupaso v'yachil. So again, you have this house that's between two courtyards. It's filled with hay. So if you're in one courtyard, you put your hay, you put the hay in your basket and feed it to your animal. And if you belong to the other courtyard, you could put your hay into your basket and feed the animal. And then he says, if the hay was reduced to less than 10 tefachim, then both people, residents of both courtyards, could not carry in their courtyard. So ketzeru osa. So how do you then act if you want to allow the other courtyard to, if you want to use the other courtyard? So note nolas beso mavatel es rishuso, and so you lock your house that's open to the house between the two courtyards, and you're mavatel your rishus, right? You restrict your house. You say I restricted my right to carry in the house to the other person, and therefore who asr b'chaver mutter. So then you become asr, and the other friend becomes mutter. V'chein ata ober. We're almost finished, and we'll see what the question is. V'chein ata ober begov shel teved shebein shnei t'chumei Shabbos. And we also say this with respect to a pit of hay that's between two t'chumei Shabbos. You have half of it is in the tchum of one city, and half is in the tchum of the other city. And at Yom Tov, everyone can take for the straw from the, you know, from that pit in their tchum, and we're not concerned that they're going to take from the other side. So what's the question? Katani bihas zed no sein toku pasul biyachil, zed no sein toku pasul biyachil. So that's a similar case. You have a house full of straw in the middle between two courtyards, and we're allowing everyone to take from the straw to his basket. And there we're not concerned that if everyone fills his straw, the straw into his basket, then the straw will become less than 10 tefachim. And then people continue carrying after it becomes less, after two chatzeros join together. So how can that be? How can, why is Rehuda say that if you have straw between two, a haystack between two courtyard, you can't fill it up into your courtyard, into your basket, because you might diminish the haystack to less than 10 tefachim if we allow it in this case. So Amri, so the Bnei Yeshiva say that it says kevan de'ika ki tikra ki mifchis minkurele milsa. He says the case with the house is different. Why is the case different? In the case of the house, since it has walls and a ceiling, okay, or it says question say mechitzos, or it at least has a ceiling, when the height of the haystack is reduced, so then it's recognizable. The height disparity between the haystack and the ceiling is obvious, so you will know when it becomes less than 10 tefachim, and then you would not be allowed to carry on either side. Hacha lo min karele milsa, but here, if you just have a haystack in a pit, right, and there's no outside, the difference in height when it becomes less than 10 tefachim, it's not so obvious, and therefore we're more concerned with taking the hay from the haystack and lower and lessening, diminishing the height to 10 tefachim, such that you would not be able to carry it either chatzer. So nismayet hateven me'asar tefachim shneim asurim. So the Braisa said, if the height of the straw becomes less than 10 tefachim, then both of them cannot carry. In both courtyards. So ha'asar shari. However, if it's at least 10 tefachim, then you would be allowed to carry. V'afal gav de midalia tikra tuva. And even though that the height of the ceiling is much higher than the straw. So shmamina mechitza shemagios the tikra shma mechitzas. So what do we say? We're saying that even if we had this debate in Daf Ayin Beis about whether walls, if you want to create walls in a house between, to separate two different areas, to make them two separate reshuyos, so do you need these temporary walls to reach the ceiling or not? So we see from this seems to prove that even though the walls, the haystack, doesn't reach all the way to the ceiling as long as it's 10 tefachim, so that's considered a bona fide mechitza, and this would be a challenge to the opinion in Daf Ayin Beis that according to Beis Hillel, mechitzas that don't reach the ceiling are not considered mechitzos. So Gemara says, no, Amar Abaye, Hacham Abayis, Shloshes Archashe Bashe, no, Askita. We're talking about a house where the ceiling is not so tall. It's 13 tefachim, less a little bit. V'tevet asara. And so if you have the straw that's 10 tefachim, so if the height difference is less than 3 tefachim, then it's considered halachically insignificant based on the principle of lovehood. Rav Huda, Breda of Yeshua, Rav Huda, Breda of Yeshua says, Afilu teba bebayis asara. And he says that even in a house that's only 10 tefachim high, v'teved shiva bashehu, and the straw is seven tfachim a little bit. Kol pachos bishlosha. Any air that's less than three tfachim, then it's kelavu dabi, it's like lavu. And so also here, since the straw is less than three tfachim from the ceiling, so anything that's between the straw and the ceiling is considered sasum, is considered closed, and it's viewed as a mechitza of 10 tfachim. So bishlama la baye dikatadi, haidi dikatadi, me asara. So according to Abaye, the brisa makes sense. Why? Because the brisa is talking about a situation where the ceiling was 13 tfachim minus a little bit, and the straw is 10 tfachim. That's why the brisa says what? That if it became less than 10 tfachim, then it's forbidden, then they can't carry it. El rafuda b'rid of Yeshua, my may asara. But according to b'rid of Yeshua, what did he say? He said that even if the machitza is less than 10 tfachim, he said that even the machitza is 7 tfachim, and you know, it's 7 plus a little bit, and it's less than 3 tfachim from the ceiling, that's also a bona fide machitza. How could that be? The Brisa says if it's less than 10 tfachim, then the machitza is considered as if it's not existent, and then you can't carry on either side. So what's the answer? Gemara says, no, when it says pachos mi'asara, means mitoras asara, from the category, from the halakha of asara tfachim, meaning what? That the straw becomes diminished, and there's less than 7 and a little bit, and together with lavud, it doesn't equal up to 10 tfachim. Okay, so you have two different ways to explain that brisa. Now, the brisa also said, the brisa says what? If the straw becomes less than 10 tfachim, then both sides of the house, and consequently, both chatzeros, you can't carry. Because what happened? The mechitza is considered as if it's invalid, and then it's become like one chatzer, and there's no erev chatzeros for joining them all together. So the Gemara asks, Shmamina, do you mean to learn from here that that the urin haboim b'shabbos asurin? Do you mean to say that if residents who arrive on Shabbos prohibit other residents from carrying? Because let's think about it. What happened? At the onset of Shabbos, these were two separate areas, and you can carry on either side. Then on Shabbos, what happened? It's as if new residents came. You have people in Chatzar A and people in Chatzar B, and they were separate. Once the mechitza was diminished, so then it was as if residents from mechitza A came into mechitza, I'm sorry, residents from Chatzir A came into Chatzir B, and they ossered them. And it's as if residents from Chatzir B came to Chatzir A, and they ossered them. So do you mean to say that, therefore, is that true? That let's say, I don't know, we have a regular Chatzir, and then all of a sudden, new people come in the middle of Shabbos, then they prohibit other people from carrying. Is that really true? Why don't you say, since the beginning of Shabbos, you can carry, so therefore, it's permitted for the whole Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Dilma de'imat me'esmo. Maybe the case is where it was only reduced on the previous day by taking the hay, and therefore was never permitted to carry at all. Yeah, but then the Gemara says, "Ketzadu also noel's basin vato rishuso." So how do we solve the problem? So you lock your house, you renounce your right to carry in the courtyard to the other person. So the Gemara says, "Tarte, you need to do both things. You should only one should be sufficient. Just be vato rishuso, for example." So Achi Kamar, "O noel's basin vato rishuso." No, either you lock your house or you renounce your right to the court. You don't need to do both. Iboy seba laolab tarte. No, really, you need to do both. Why? Kevi the dash be asel tiltule. You need to do both as sort of like a heker for you to remind yourself, because even though normally you only need to be mevatel your reshus. Let's say you didn't make an, you forgot to make an eruv. So we've said this a number of times. You can simply be mevatel your reshus to your friend, but since you typically use that house, If you don't lock your house, you might actually carry in your house. Okay, so now the Braisa also said that after you're mevatel and you're also after you're mevatel your rishus, after you restrict your rights, then who also b'chayim mutar? You are forbidden to carry. Your friend is permitted to carry. Pshita, isn't that obvious? Once you're mevatel your rishus, so then you can't carry and your friend can carry. So lo tzricha, the hader idach mevatel lechaver. So we're saying that even if your friend then was, let's say, was mevatel his rishus in favor of you. So we're saying that the Braisa says you can't renounce your rights in favor of the other person and then have them be mevatel rishus in your favor. So that's that halacha. We saw there's a debate about that, but so he would take your position here in the Braisa. V'cheirata ober begov shel tevin shebein shnei tchumei Shabbos. And the Braisa says that the same thing applies to a pit of straw between two tchumim on Shabbos, two eri tchumim, that on Yom Tov, the people of each city can take from the straw that's in the tchum of their city. So Pshita, is that obvious? That even that that the same principle should be effect to the, what's it between a haystack between two chatzeros and a haystack between two tchumim of a city? So lo tzricha the Rabbi Kiva d'amar tchumim d'oraisa. So we're saying this position makes applies even to Rabbi Kiva, who's the singular view who says in Maseches Sota that the prohibition to go outside your tchum is a Torah prohibition. But what is it that he might have said? Ligza dilma asin lichlufe. So there may be, I should make gzeira because I'm concerned that you might take straw from the other tchum on Shabbos, from the tchum of the other city, and there you would violate a Torah prohibition. So here, when it comes to the tchum of two courtyards, the area of the two courtyards, so the worst case scenario, you make a mistake, that's only an issur d'rabbanan. But maybe you would say, when according to Rabbi Kiva, who says that you violate issur d'oraisa, so maybe then you should not be allowed to take straw in your own area. Kamash Balan, the Braisa says that even according to Rabbi Kiva, you can take from your straw, and we're not concerned that because you're taking from the straw of the tchum of your city, you're going to take the straw even outside the tchum. Okay. Next, Mishnah is now going to talk about shitufei muvaos. So how do you make a shitufei muvaos? A partnership between the different different inhabitants of the mavoi. So case of mishtatei mavoi. So what do you do? Meidiach es achavis v'ober harezu l'chol b'nei mavoi. So you take a barrel of wine or other fruits. Remember, with a shitufei muvaos, you don't only need to use bread. You can use other foods as well. So you place it and you say, this barrel is for everyone of the alleyway. And you need to be mezakeh the barrel. You need to give the right of the barrel to everyone who lives in the mavoi. You say to someone else. You say this to someone else. The other person accepts the barrel. And he accepts it on behalf of everyone in the mavoi. U'mezakeh lohem ayidei b'no u'bito agdoli. And you can give the rights of the mavoi, of the barrel, to even family members. In other words, you can mezakeh to everyone, even through your son, your son, your daughter, your maidservant, male or female, who's Eved Ivri, a Shifra Ivris, and Ayde Ishto, through his wife. Aval Eidu mezakeh, lo yide b'no bito ketanim, lo yide adu shifchot kananim, b'nei shiyado kiyado. Sorry, but you cannot be mezakeh through a young child who's not bar mitzvah and not to an eved or a shifcha who's kanani because they are considered that's considered still in your rights. In other words, it's still considered in your possession. So therefore, you cannot confer possession to a slave or a minor because that is, their acquisition is insignificant and the object remains in your possession. That's what I do every Pesach. So I do the shitufei muvaos, you know, with someone else. You know, I'm a zakeh. I give a box of matzah to another person on behalf of everyone in the community. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, Chavid shel shitufei muvaos, tzarech lagbia mina karka tefach. So Rabbi Yehuda says, a barrel of the shitufim mavos when you want to mezaket everyone. So you need to, the person who accepts it needs to pick it up from the ground, at least the tefach. Because if you don't, then it's still in the rishus of the baalim. So you need to be pick it up. These two things, Save de Pupadisa Abrido. The elders of Pupadisa said this, they are Rabbi Yehuda and Yeshiva. Chada, ha. So what is this? That you need to pick up the barrel of the Shetufa Mavos, at least a tefach. And the Idach, and the other thing is, Havakadesh, Imtam Malo Lugmav Yatza, Milav Lo Yatza. If you make Kiddush on wine, on Shabbos and Yom Tov, if you drink a cheekful, then you've discharged your obligation of Kiddush. And if not, you have not discharged your obligation. Abba Rav Chaviva Hanami Sabid Pupadisa Bidhu. So they also said something else. The Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel Osi Medura Lachaya B'Shabbos. That you can make a bonfire or a big, I guess like it's a bonfire. For a woman, a new mother on Shabbos, in order to heat, to keep her warm. But if you don't do it, she's going to be in a state of danger. Does that mean only for a new mother you're allowed to do this, but you're not allowed to do it for a regular sick person on Shabbos, because the cold doesn't potentially harm the cholah like a new mother? Do you want to say that this only applies during the rainy season when it's cold, but in the summer months, we're not concerned about it? So, Itmar, Amar Chia Bar Avin, Amar Shmuel, Misha Hikis Dam Benitztanin, Oslo Madur B'Shabbos, Vafilu B'Tkufas Tavos. So, we're saying that's not the case. What you think is not the case, Shmuel said, if someone did some bloodletting and then he became cold, so then you could build a fire for him on Shabbos even during the summer months, because this is this is still a potential danger for the person, and therefore obviously it's pikuach nefesh, so you're allowed to set aside Shabbos for that. Obviously, if there's a non-Jew, the non-Jew should do it instead of the Jew. Amar Amemar, Amemar says, Hanami Savi Pupadisa Aminu. The elders of the Pupadisa also said the following halacha, Itmar, Ezohi Asher Estab. When do we presume that a regular tree is an Asher tree, and therefore you can't derive benefit from it? Amarav, Kol Shekomim Shomimosa. Any tree where the priests, the pagan priests are guarding it, Ve'ein Tomim Peroseha. They guard it and they don't taste its fruits. So then you know that it's certainly a tree of Avodah Zarah. Let me just do a couple more lines. Ushmul Amar Kigon Da Amri Hani Tamri Leshichra Debe Nitzrefe. So he says that this, for example, if they say these dates are for the beer of the temple of Nitzrefe, the Shasile Biyom Chagam, which they drink for their festival. The Amro Le Sabid Pumpadisa Hilchos Akavasi the Shmul. Mimer said, the elders Pumpadisa said to me with regard to this, the halacha follows Shmuel in this regard. Okay. Okay, who else joined? Okay, everyone.